Hello again, and welcome to Top of Mind Florida. Michael Williams here.
And Brian Crowley.
And we have, as our guest today, David Goodlett, the 3 years ago now, time flies, doesn't it, David? Senior Vice President, Corporate Relations for the Sugarcane Growers Cooperative of Florida. Retired from that work now, doing some political oversight contract work for them, but you also have a wonderful origin story as a native of Belgrade, and we're going to talk about all of that and your fingerprints across everything from civic engagement to years ago, the South Florida Fair, and much more. We appreciate you being a guest.
It's my pleasure. I'm always excited to help share some thoughts on the early days in the Glades, because not a lot of people have had an opportunity to visit and don't know a lot about it. It was a great place to grow up.
We're going to get to that much more in just a moment, but Brian, I'll let you take it away with some news of late that I know you wanted to talk about.
Well, you know, I think that you posted the other day on Facebook some concerns about a friend of yours who had been picked up by ICE agents and taken to Alligator Alcatraz. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So imagine my surprise that this is a question. So, I had a fellow that I've been around for about 15 years. He was a laborer, occasionally helped him. He helped me a lot. We got to be close, knew his family. He was here under an El Salvadorian passport. Mm. He landed in Miami. Everything he was here for was on the straight up. He had a driver's license, and he was driving in the city of Stewart, was stopped along with two other folks in a vehicle in a pickup truck, and there was no infraction in terms of a traffic speeding or red lights or whatever. It was strictly profiling. Now, I may be a little bit different than some people. I'm not totally opposed to profiling, because I've been around law enforcement a while. As you may remember, my dad was a police chief in Belgrade for many years.
Oh, yeah. But
in this case, in my view, this gentleman had everything he needed to legally be in this country. He was processed and sent to Alligator Alcatraz. He was there. Ultimately, there was a determination made that he was in a gray area. They didn't know whether he could or couldn't be here. The judge would not make a decision, which is a little bit strange to me. But ultimately, he was required to go back to El Salvador, and he was required to buy his own ticket and make his own arrangements out of town, or he would be listed in a situation where he would never be allowed to come back. All of his roots for the last 10, 15 years are in this community. That's, to me, that's not due process.
Sure.
And I was obviously saddened to hear that that's how this has evolved. There have no problem with folks with records and criminals, and we need a better process than we have. But in this case, I think the system failed this man.
You know, you're 40 years working with the ag industry and the Glades, the sugar industry, and everything. Help people understand how important the immigrant workers are in the ag community in Florida.
Well, it's particularly important in fresh vegetable market. You know, in fresh vegetables, we use the expression, you sell it or smell it. So you've got to have people that can hit the ground running and help harvest all of those crops. You cannot hire domestic workers to do that. And in fact, the sugar industry has an H-2A program where they were required to go through a recruiting process that is very expensive to demonstrate the inability to hire laborers. And we can now, they can bring in truck drivers. Cane isn't cut by hand anymore, mm-hmm. So that's not an issue. It's all mechanically harvested. But even today, without these programs, we cannot harvest Florida's crops. Period.
You, to say the very least, politically connected. So where have you taken your complaint, and what kind of reception has what you said publicly on one of your social media pages, what kind of reception has it gotten? And have you been surprised? You have said, I'm avowedly conservative, but on this issue, when it dealt with somebody who I could put a human face to and that I know, that's a red line that I think was too far. So where have you made your case?
Yeah, so let's just be total disclosure. I voted for Trump 3 times. Mm-hmm. I thought he was better than the alternative. Do I think this is the way we should be processing folks who have issues? Do I think there are problems at the border? Yes, of course, I think we all do. It's not whether there's an issue, it's how we address it. And in this case, I just didn't think the fellow got a fair shake. And I, as you may, if you read on down in my post, I had some folks that disagreed with me. What saddens me to some degree isn't the disagreement, because that's healthy. We can debate that, right? Mm-hmm. But when there is a situation where there's nothing that someone can do wrong, and you just across the board blank check support, that's not good. That's not the way America was established. We have a constitution. You know, you can debate all of that. But I had a number of people that got to me. They didn't want to do it over the social media. I received some wonderfully nice comments from folks, both Republican and Democrat, about having made that post.
And Brian, you've talked about this in another podcast episode, and I think, David, it goes to your point. You can look at a macro issue, but when you get down to the level of people working hard, been here a number of years, an industry can't survive without them, they've committed no egregious crime. You talked about it in another episode. It's that sense of lack of nuance there that's increasingly leading to debates like the one we're having here. Is that
fair? There's a level of fear now among some Hispanics. There's a woman I know, dear friend, Puerto Rican, born in the United States, but Puerto Rican. And even if she was in Puerto Rico, she's an American citizen. She carries her passport with her everywhere because she's afraid of getting pulled out of her car just because of the way she looks. That, as you pointed out, David, that shouldn't be the way things are. Do we want to get rid of the criminals? Absolutely. But we've also now decided that anybody who crossed the border illegally is a criminal. We're putting them in the same category as murderers, pedophiles, etc. And I often say to people, if somebody crosses the border illegally, goes up to a Border Patrol agent and asks for asylum, they're now in a legal process. They're not here illegally anymore. And a judge has to decide whether or not they're entitled to asylum. You know, as you probably know better than I, our process for dealing with immigration has been messed up for decades, and Congress never fixes it. And would you agree?
I would totally agree. But to me, it goes further than immigration, which is significant. And it is significant to agriculture and other things, walks of life. But Brian, what we're doing here is we're peeling back the onions and removing layers of government and the way we've done things that have made us secure in our homes and in our jobs. That is a scary part to me. Where does that stop?
If you had a chance to speak to the president, who you voted for three times, what would you say to him directly?
I'd tell him the story. And I don't know, you know, you've got to, it's a little bit like being they are law enforcement officers. You have a small amount of time to make a very important decision. And someone is making a call. And you've got to get the right people in the right situations to make the right call. I don't want to trade places with them. It's a very difficult and demanding job, but we've got to figure out an access or a path to citizenship that can be generally agreed upon, and then you set forth those rules, and folks then know how you play the game.
Candidly, did you feel this way before it happened to your friend, or did you said immigration bad, we need to get rid of them? When it hit you in the heart, you say, I did see a different perspective I maybe didn't have before it happened to my friend.
So the line moved on me a little bit. I have for a while felt like we needed to do something differently. But I'll tell you, if you'll just take your shoes off and put somebody else's on and think about it, not even yourself. If that happened to one of my children or my son, I can't imagine. I don't know how people, I don't know how you take a family and split them up and take the children and put them over here in this location and send the parents somewhere else. I mean, that's unconscionable to me. So, send them all back home if that's what we need to do, but don't divide families when people are pre-adolescent.
So speaking about being young, that barefooted boy in Belleglade, what was that like for you growing up in Belleglade? I assume you were barefooted much of the time.
You know,
old Florida, come on.
For sure. I was having a flashback the other day about my BB gun and hunting meadowlarks out in the pasture barefooted and looking down and being surrounded by sticker bushes and not knowing how I got there. So Belleglade was an awesome place. Many folks following the Depression came from Alabama and Georgia, as my parents did, because they knew something about agriculture, and there was jobs in the Glades. So it provided economic opportunity for people who had been really tough situations. The folks there were great. The schools were good. There was segregation. But, you know, in the Glades communities, there was not a preponderance of any race or creed or color or whatever. And people have gotten along for years. Many of my best friends I'm still in touch with. It was great. Belleglade, we could fish, we could hunt, we could hang out with our friends. It was a great place. It's really sad now to go through the community.
I was going to say great, but then you know, whether it was The Harvest of Shame by Edward R. Murrow in 1960 or beyond, there was also the many who did not ever find it to be anything but poverty-stricken. And that has always been the issue, rich man, poor man, whether from Palm Beach to the Glades and beyond. Talk about that. You have been involved in trying to help with efforts over the years, healthcare and the like, to try and change that situation. But a more idyllic setting that you and your family created certainly was not the case for so many there. And as you aptly point out, is not to this day. Talk about that.
Yes. So, you know, I think Belleglade, there's some really good reasons why we're where we are in the Glades communities. But, you know, when I was young, Edward R. Murrow did The Harvest of Shame. And I don't remember it at the time that it was done, but it was a scar that community carries till this day. And it was very significant. And, you know, it's interesting because a friend bought me a copy of, and I started to bring it today because I knew it would come up, a CD of The Harvest of Shame. And I watched it probably 40 years later.
Wow.
And Michael, I had a hard time arguing with the things that were on The Harvest of Shame that I had for so many years felt like was so unjust to the folks in the Glades community. So I found that in my own personal life to be significant. Things, you know, it wasn't unique to the Glades, but it certainly was an issue in the Glades. It needed to be addressed. I think housing authorities and other things really helped heal some of those. But then here's what happened. We got to a point in the Glades community where I think we were reaching an equilibrium that would allow for a community with better fabric. Then comes along Palm Beach County development. When Brian and I were young bucks, Palm Beach County was about...
Younger bucks, still young bucks. Right.
We're 500,000 people.
Yeah.
Now, what is it, Brian?
1.3 million?
1.5.
Even more, I think, coming up on 1.5.
When we used to go from Belleglade into West Palm Beach, there was willow bushes from 6 Mile Bend all the way into 20 Mile Bend. Now that's all sugarcane and beyond. There was an old two-lane road. I had a best friend whose mother and father were killed in an accident on State Road 80, and he was left an orphan. So old State Road 80 was a horrible road.
I still take it once in a while.
I do, too. I do, too. Okay, but here's why I mentioned that. When Palm Beach County began to grow as it did, and Wellington started spreading west, and we had a four-lane road that would allow us, without canals immediately adjacent to the road, it allowed us to make trips in and out of the Glades much easier. I lived off of Jog Road for many years. My office was on Clematis. It took me the same amount of time to go from Clematis to Jog or from Jog to Belglade. So the fabric of the community that could afford to move in large part, and that's not white or black, that's the community. They moved east where they had more shopping and restaurants and theaters and what have you. So we lost all of that important underpinning of a community.
Let me turn to for a moment, if I may, to the crossroads between environment and economy. Mm-hmm. Let me say to our audience, I retired, as I've mentioned, from WPTV in March. I'm doing some consulting work for Friends of the Everglades. And I want to ask you a question, my questions only, let me emphasize, but your former hat, Senior VP for Sugarcane Growers Cooperative, now doing some contract work. The latest controversy is about a rock mine in the middle of the Everglades. Environmentalists keep asking, when is enough enough? They said, by its very nature, putting a rock mine that may operate for the next 40 or 50 years there is diametrically opposed to Everglades restoration. The environmental community and others say this is an industry that's profited from the very agriculture that drew your family there years ago. It's an industry that profits from the fact that it has federal price supports. And when does it stop? How do you answer that?
Stop. George Wedgeworth would have said to you, stop what?
Stop the rock mine for starters.
Okay, stop the rock mine. Well, let me say, it's been 4 years since I've had my nose in the four walls of what's going on in the EAA in terms of those kind of things. But the problem that I have had traditionally with the environmental movement is that you can't have it every way. So do we need to send the water south? If we do, a rock mine is a type of reservoir that can hold that water.
There's some scientific debate about that.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of it, actually.
Well, yeah, we can debate it all.
Yeah.
All right, but what I'm told is that that this whole mining situation is more about getting material for building roads in the Orlando South area and doing it more economically than trying to find rock in other places, and that the state government and the DOT, you know, they're all hiding behind bushes right now. They're not out talking about it, but that this is much about trying to supply a raw product for roads.
But the argument is it's going to be a huge detriment, ongoing detriment of the Glades. And, you know, in 2008, there was almost that deal with U.S. Sugar to sell its holdings for Everglades restoration. Mm-hmm. The deal would fall through a few years ago. Why is there not the generational thinking and coming together, it almost happened then, now in a better, more holistic generational way for sugar interest, environmental interests to come together? It could have happened then. It didn't. Why not now? And what are we losing? I was out at a hearing this summer, and everybody talks about the mine and the possible reservoir and possible jobs, but nobody talks about the fact that if you could find a balance, a better balance environmentally and otherwise, you might create a gigantic ecotourism industry that could mean long, sustained jobs in the Belglades and South Bay communities and the like. Why don't we see that kind of big vision?
Well, first of all, I'm not a big believer in ecotourism. Okay. I think that's a word that's thrown around by folks as some sort of an economic nail to hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. But notwithstanding that, here's the issue. The folks, you know, the big names get thrown around, the Wedgeworths, the Fonhuls, the folks who have been traditionally in farming in the Glades for decades. But there's also the Orsonegos and the Steins, and you could, and they have spent their life investing in this property, in the infrastructure of the sugar mills and the tractor and the rolling stock. it's not just as simple as saying, okay, today we're going to sing Kumbaya, and we're going to, from here south is going to be a few acres of sugarcane, and from here north will be an environmental stormwater treatment area. Very complicated. And I once went up to Stewart before I lived up there and had what the water keepers or something. But anyway, I went up and had a discussion with them. And it was all about send the water south and put it on 80,000 acres that belong to folks, private property owners. Why? The water flows south. The degradation of the water column and the limiting nutrient has generally been said to be phosphorus.
Mm-hmm.
And back 20 years ago or 30, it was all about water quality. We've addressed that and kind of solved that problem. So now it's turned into a water quantity problem. I don't think there is a solution, because I think there's a good many folks on the opposite side of our table who just want the sugar industry gone. And that, and some of them will readily tell you that we're not going to do that.
Well, I think, in fairness to your point, on both sides of that table, I suspect there's some in the sugar industry who would say the same about the environmentalists who are trying to put a check on them. And as you said,
I say it. Here I am.
Well, and as Brian and I always say, we're not going to solve all of this on Top of Mind Florida, but we recently, I was away, but had Eve samples in, but we talked to both sides of the issue. And it's
a
complicated one.
In fairness, that one of the things that has also happened is the dramatic amount of development we've had going further into the Glades. As you and I both know, Military Trail was once a two-lane road, and anything west of that was the wilderness.
Well,
you
of
know?
Course, the Glades came so far east.
And you look at the stuff that's being built further and further out west. So what 20 years ago was largely a discussion between ag and environment, we kind of leaving out a really important part of it now, and it's not just, you know, all throughout South Florida and on the West Coast as well, all the growth that's going into what had been the Glades. So, you know, maybe ag isn't as big a problem as it was once considered to be.
If people don't get growth under control, they can talk about all of the agriculture they want to. Weston now is right against the Everglades. Now we're out to 20-mile bend. Wow.
In our remaining time, because as you rightly said, we can begin to discuss the issues. We were talking earlier. This is what we love about this podcast, and we look to have you back, David. But we also would not be doing fairness to what I talked about. We love the origin stories. You touched on it earlier, and I think some of the things you've done, whether it's helped in a tremendous way with healthcare out in your community, whether it's the old South Florida Fair, which still the fairs bring a lot of joy to my heart. Talk a little bit more about David Goodlett and what made him tick then, some of the things you've done out for that community, and some of the things that just are part of that neat origin story.
Always loved, and I don't know why, I was a horrible student. I couldn't do math or science.
He claims that too.
Exactly. Listen, that's how we're here. And so I could understand government, because at night I watched the Huntley-Brinkley Report on one channel with my dad, and then we'd flip over and watch whatever the other one was. And then Kennedy was assassinated when I was in the second grade. And, man, that is still something to me that
seared you.
Oh, it's just, you know, and now you hear some of the things with what's being released. And anyway, but I always have loved public service. I thought I was going to go into law enforcement like my dad, because I saw it as a way to help people. But I'd been working on the midnight shift as a senior in college, and I was dispatching at the Glade substation in Belglade by myself at 17.
Wow.
I was dispatching the patrol cars, answering the phone.
Really do change.
Can you imagine them letting a 17-year-old send a car to a – anyway. So this night I'd fallen asleep. And they had to send a car by the station to wake me up. And so I was going to graduate from Florida State in December. And I'm like, man, this is killing me. When I graduate, if I go into law enforcement, Sheriff Willie had promised me a job. I'm going to have to come out. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have to go to the academy. And then when I finish 6 months of the academy, I'm going to have to go on the midnight shift. Neither of which sound like fun. I was walking out of the office, and then County Commissioner Bill Bailey from the Glades was walking in. And he stopped me and he said, you know, the commission is thinking about having administrative assistants. You have any interest in the job? I said, I got one lined up with the sheriff's office for $13,000 a year. If you will pay me $14,000, I'll sign on the day. And I never went back to law enforcement.
And thus a career.
Who was the first governor you had to deal with?
Well, I put bumper stickers on cars at Buckhead Ridge for Hayden Burns. I guess it was.
As a lobbyist, it would have been Graham, right?
Bob Graham.
Yeah.
Back in 78. Proudest civic accomplishment you have, many.
Oh, putting that hospital in the ground in the Glades. Readily, we made a mistake. I wish if I had it to do over again, instead of having a 70-bed hospital that isn't utilized like we had envisioned it, we would have probably done more like a 25. We could have saved some money. We could have focused on certain things. But they've utilized the space for other things. But, yeah, but some of my favorite things are just little quiet things behind the scene.
Like?
I've helped a couple of kids with cars to go to school and stuff. I mean, you know, just not, they weren't Porsches, yeah, right? But when you can help change somebody's life and you've really done it, and we're not writing it in headlines, and it's leave the place better than you found it. To he who much is given, much is expected. Those are the two principles. I don't do the best by living by them, but I do try to use them as the yardstick.
You know, people don't understand. You know, there are people in Palm Beach County who don't even know that, who don't even believe that Belle Glade is in Palm Beach County. You know,
Brian,
and most people have never even been out to the Glades.
Well, it's true, but get this, how things change. Brian, when you and I just started, the people in the Glades felt like they were so misrepresented that all of their tax money was going to the East Coast and they were being deprived. And they wanted to separate and create a new county. Can you imagine if we'd have made a county from 20 Mile Bend to Hendry County? What a nasty mess that would be. In the Glades now, there's no fire protection. Municipal services don't include fire, police, library, most roads. I mean, the county does most everything.
Still keeping your eye out on your roots, proud Belle Glade native.
Absolutely.
Final quick thought before we go to the Crowley Closer. Thanks for being our guest today, David. Good luck.
My pleasure.
Final thought?
Spend more time with your family.
On that eloquent note, and I couldn't agree with you more, neither could this guy, Crowley Closer, one of our famous closes for our old To the Point broadcast. Take it away, my friend.
Well, you know, I can remember when Bob Graham was governor. He was a great governor in the state of Florida, became a U.S. senator. And I can remember running into you in the halls of the Senate and the House and having interesting conversations with you. And you were very, very good at the job you did. And
you
did it in a way that was the kind of you were a polite, thoughtful.
You must have caught me on a good day.
I did catch you on a couple of good days. And
no, we've talked about that. That's missing.
And you were highly respected for what you did up there.
I love you said that. We talk, Brian and I talk about that a lot. You can agree to disagree. You can even disagree vehemently. But to do it in a way that at least respects the other side, that's what we talk about a lot that's missing. So for you to bring that up is important.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you being our guest. Come back.
I'm in.
Good. That is it for us. David Goodlett, appreciate you being our guest. Brian Crowley, always great to be alongside you. That's it for this edition of Top of Mind Florida.